Finley was still in his quarters under the arenas when he heard an urgent knocking at his door. He frowned. For someone who was supposed to be in hiding, he was getting a hell of a lot of visitors. He strapped on his sword belt and holster and went carefully over to the door. He really should have invested in a spy hole or a hidden camera. His hand started towards his gun, and then he grabbed hold of Evangeline as she fell towards him, only just in time to stop her hitting the floor. She was wrapped in a long crimson sheet, part of it bulked into a large, unwieldy parcel under one arm. Her face was slack with shock and exhaustion, and spattered with recently dried blood. She was breathing hard, and her eyes weren't tracking properly, and she clung to him with desperate strength. Finley gave up trying to get any sense out of her, and got her over to the bed, but she would only sit on the edge, not lie down. Her eyes were red and puffy from crying, and all she wanted to do was hold him.
"What is it, love? What happened? You're safe here. You're all right now. What have you got under your arm?"
She still wouldn't or couldn't answer him. He slowly eased out of her grasp, murmuring soothingly all the while, and began unwrapping the bedsheet that enveloped her. And it was only then that he discovered she was naked underneath, apart from her panties, and splashed with a great deal of sticky blood. He checked her quickly for cuts and wounds, and was only partly reassured to find that none of the blood was hers. He eased the bundle out from under her arm and unwrapped that. Something small and hard fell out onto the floor. It was the hilt of the monofilament knife she'd asked him to get for her. He removed the sheet completely and discovered two glass cases containing two severed but still living heads. He was so startled he almost dropped them, but managed to fumble them safely to the floor. Their mouths were moving, but he couldn't hear anything. He turned back to Evangeline, and she giggled almost hysterically at the look on his face.
"The man is Professor Wax. I don't know him. The woman is Penny DiCarlo, my oldest friend. My father was holding them prisoner. I rescued them."
"Your father? You've been to see Gregor Schreck? On your own? What happened? Where did all this blood come from?"
"We talked. And afterwards, things got rough."
"Why didn't you tell me you were going?"
"I couldn't. Gregor had been threatening me, saying he'd kill Penny if I didn't go back to him. He insisted that I go alone. So I went there to Tower Schreck, into the belly of the beast, and I found he'd done that to Penny. So I made Gregor give them both up, and I took them away."
"How the hell did you get him to part with them?"
"I had my monofilament knife, the one you gave me. Such a practical present."
She almost laughed again at the expression on Finley's face.
"You're not the only one who knows how to fight. I used Gregor as a human shield to get out of the tower and then made a run for my gravity sled. A few guards tried to stop me leaving, so I killed them. It was easy. Gregor's people stopped chasing me after a while, so I came here. I didn't know where else to go."
"Of course you were right to come here, Evie. You'll be safe here. But what happened to your clothes?"
Evangeline gripped his arm fiercely.
"Don't ask me that, Finley. Don't ever ask me that."
"All right, I won't. Calm down. Damn, you did a very brave thing, Evie, but you really should have told me. I would have understood. Did he hurt you? Are you injured anywhere? Should I get you a doctor? If Gregor's hurt you, I'll kill the bastard."
"No, I'm not hurt. I don't need a doctor. I'm all right. Don't fuss, Finley. Just let me get my breath back. Now I've freed Penny, Gregor doesn't have any hold over me anymore. Everything's going to be all right now."
Finley took her in his arms again and kissed her gently on the top of her head.
"Oh, brave girl. My brave girl."
"Don't answer it!"
"It's all right, Evie. Only a few trusted people know I'm here. I have to answer it, in case it's an emergency."
The screen cleared to show the huge, flushed face of Gregor Schreck, half covered by a blood-soaked bandage. For a moment, he just stared out of the screen, taking in Finley and Evangeline together. His mouth was trembling and twitching, and his single eye was very bright.
"What do you want, Schreck? And how did you find me here?"
"My people followed Evie all the way home. She thought she'd lost them. I knew I'd find you both together. Told you all about her little adventure at Tower Schreck, has she? But what hasn't she been telling you, eh, Campbell? What about the things she never told you? The secrets she's kept from you all this time? Shall I tell you all about your darling little cloned copy?
I know she's a clone. And I know you murdered the original. We have no secrets, Evangeline and I.
Oh, but you do. You do, dear boy. I guarantee it. I'll bet she never told you how much I loved her. Or exactly how I loved her. Oh, I loved her dearly and well and very often. I loved every inch of her body. In fact, I took her to my bed and loved her morning, noon, and night as hard as I could. And she loved it.
You bastard!
I bedded her, Campbell, long before you ever did. She was Daddy's girl and did whatever Daddy told her to do. And we did all kinds of things. Things she's probably never done for you. She'll always be mine, Campbell, because she was mine first. That's what I had her made for. I'm going to take her back from you, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you! Kill you!
Smoke rose from the machine's workings. Finley stood there, the gun still in his hand, trying to think what to do next. But Gregor's hateful words filled his head to the exclusion of everything else. Finley finally put away the gun and turned slowly to look at Evangeline. She stopped her tears by an effort of will and looked back at him.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I knew you'd react like this. Because I knew you'd be angry and hurt, because I thought if you knew, you might leave me. That you wouldn't feel the same about me anymore.
You never cared for Gregor.
Of course not. I was his property. I had no choice. I either did what he said or he'd kill me and make another clone who would. I did what I had to survive.
I'm going to kill him. There aren't enough guards in this world to keep me from him. You stay here and lock the door after me. Don't open it till I come back. And maybe I'll bring you back Gregor's head, wrapped in a bedsheet.
No, Finley. He'll be expecting you to go straight there. That's why he contacted you, told you what he did. It has to be a trap.
Of course it's a trap. But that won't stop me.
You can't just kill him, Finley. It isn't like the old days during the rebellion when you had the protection of the underground. The war is over. They'd call it murder and no one would speak for you. They'd hang you as a common killer.
Let them try. Evie, how could you keep something like this from me? We swore we'd have no secrets between us. How could you not tell me something as important as this? Didn't you trust me?
Oh, you're a fine one to talk about keeping secrets, Finley Campbell. Are you ever going to tell Julian the truth? That the man he admires so much is the same masked gladiator who killed his brother Auric?
That's different.
Finley stopped. He looked around, and there, standing in the open doorway, was Julian Skye. Finley looked at his face and didn't need to ask how much Julian had heard. The young Esper's face was bone white, but his dark eyes were fixed steadily on Finley's.
Julian.
You should have told me, Finley. When we first met, you should have told me. How could you do such a thing?
I killed a lot of people in the arena while I was the second masked gladiator. Auric was just one of them. I never knew he was your brother till after we'd become friends. And I never told you then because I knew how much it would hurt you.
And the masked gladiator I killed during the rebellion?
That was George McCracken, the first man to wear the mask. He was my teacher. I inherited the role from him.
So I killed an innocent man.
He stood with the Empress. He would never have surrendered. He would have killed you.
An innocent man. You bloody bastard! Did you think it was funny? Did you have a good laugh at the brother of the man you murdered trotting at your heels like a puppy?
Julian, it was never like that.
I have to think about this. I'm going away for a while. I don't want you to call me. I'll contact you when I've decided what I'm going to do. When I've decided whether or not I'm going to kill you.
Julian turned and left, and Finley wanted to run after him, but didn't. There was nothing he could say now that wouldn't only make things worse. He stood silent in the middle of his room, in the ruins of his world. In the space of a few minutes, he'd lost his friend and perhaps his love, the only things that really mattered to him. He wanted to go out and kill Gregor and seek solace in slaughter, but he couldn't. Not now, with so many matters left unresolved. He went back to the bed, sat down beside Evangeline and took her in his arms, and comforted her as best he could, and let the bloody red rage simmer in his heart. In the best suite that the best hotel in the Parade of the Endless had to offer, Bibi Chojiro took a short rest between official engagements, reclining peacefully on the huge bed while Cardinal Brendan brought her up to date on the latest news. Bibi enjoyed a little luxury now and again, and saw no point in denying herself just to save her clan a few pennies. Besides, the people she had to deal with expected to see and meet her in the same kind of surroundings they enjoyed. It was necessary they perceive her as at least their equal, or they wouldn't strike deals with her. She realized that Brendan had stopped talking and turned her head lazily on the pillow to look at him.
Yes. Is there a problem?
No. I was just wondering, how did you get to be the official spokesperson for Blue Block? I'd never even heard of you before the rebellion.
I am spokesperson because Blue Block wants it that way, which is really all you need to know. But vanity, vanity, thy name is woman. So it pleases me to inform you that I am the end result of extensive planning and programming designed for just this task. I am the voice of Blue Block. My thoughts are those that Blue Block gave me.
But then, how much of you is left? I mean, the real you, the original Bibi Chojiro.
Ah, you'd be surprised. Let's just say more than you'd think. But it doesn't matter. Their interests are mine and vice versa.
But why...
Did they choose me out of all the subjects at their command? They've never told me. Genetics, presumably. They had my parents killed when I was very young and took me away from my clan so that I would have no ties or loyalties to anyone but them. I never even met the brothers and sisters of my clan till I was of adult age. I never knew a family, or what it could be, so I can't honestly say I lost anything. Blue Block is my father and mother, and my brothers and sisters, too. They made me what I am today.
And who are they? I've only ever been on the edges. The mysteries are closed to me. Who is this they that run everything?
Wouldn't you like to know?
He should have known better than to expect a straight answer from Bibi Chojiro. He moved on to the safer ground of the day's business.
So, where are we going next? We've been through everyone on my list, but you had me leave the rest of the evening free.
So I did. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen now. Several trains of event have been set in motion. The only certainty is that this evening, several important members of Blue Block will be journeying here to discuss forming an alliance with Jack Random.
What? You have got to be kidding! The professional rebel himself? Democracy's darling? He hates the aristocracy and has growing suspicions about Blue Block. What could he possibly have in common with us?
Simple. He's a Chojiro.
Jack Random is a Chojiro?
You didn't really think his name was Random, did you? His mother was a part of my clan. His father was no one important. What matters is that Jack has blood connections to a major family, and that he feels more isolated than at any other time in his life. And however far we stray, family is still family. He used to have his cause to cling to, but now that's gone. He used to be a leader, but now he's just another politician. His dreams betrayed him by coming true. If we could persuade him to join with us, the legendary professional rebel and hero, the man who made the deal with Blue Block...
It's risky. Too risky. He may be politically isolated at the moment, but he's still a man of power and influence. And on top of that, he's one of the Maze people, whatever they are.
They are the future. They are the key to future influence and power. Whoever controls them, or can remove them from the playing field, will control the fate of humanity. However, the Maze People may be powerful, but they all have their weaknesses. Jack Random will succumb to the comforts of family, of belonging. Ruby Journey needs action, and a direction, if not a cause. She's incapable of running her own life and needs to feel needed. Owen Deathstalker and Hazel Dark are a problem. Together they are formidable, so it is in our best interests to separate them, turn them against each other. Set his idealism against her practicality, and they might well destroy each other.
Whatever happens, we have to prevent the forthcoming marriage between Owen and Constance Wolfe. Owen as emperor, even just a constitutional emperor, is unthinkable.
Not necessarily. If we can't destroy him, we can always manipulate him. More importantly, we have to remove Finley Campbell from the board. It's vital that Robert be installed, unopposed, as the Campbell.
I've set things in motion. All we have to do is wait. But I don't see that Robert's going to be any improvement as the Campbell. The word is, he has no love for aristocrats in general, and Blue Block in particular.
But he was Blue Block, for a time. And once you are ours forever. He left before the real programming could begin, but the standard mental commands were implanted in his subconscious. When the time comes, he'll do the right thing. He won't be able to help himself.
The view screen on the wall chimed politely, and Brendan went to answer it. Julian Skye's gaunt face appeared on the screen, and BB quickly lay down again to ensure Julian couldn't see her. He looked tired, and his eyes were suspiciously puffy as he glared out of the screen at Brendan.
I want to speak to BB. Now.
I'm sorry, Julian. I told you. She doesn't want to talk to you. Not until you've proved your love and your loyalty to her.
I can deliver Finley Campbell, if that's what she wants.
That's good news, Julian. I'm sure BB will be very glad to hear that. How soon?
Very soon. But I'll only deliver him to BB, in person.
I'm sure that can be arranged. Contact me again when you're ready to make the delivery, and I'll give you a time and place. BB will be there, waiting for you.
Tell her I love her.
Of course I will. You're doing the right thing, Julian. Take care with Finley.
Brendan stared at the blank screen, and then turned to BB as she got up off the bed and came over to join him.
Well, that was unexpected. I hadn't foreseen complete and utter capitulation for days yet.
He loves me. My dear, sweet, vulnerable Julian. He always said he'd do anything for me.
Even betray his friends?
Of course. What are friends for?
But can we trust him to keep his word? You betrayed him to the torturers. You stand for everything he hates.
None of that matters. He belongs to me. I made him love me, using all of Blue Block's most subtle techniques. It should have been his more malleable older brother, Auric. He would have been far more useful to us. But he insisted on fighting that stupid duel in the arena and was lost. Julian was second choice, but to be fair, he's come much further on his own than I ever thought he would. Another official hero of the rebellion could be of great use to us. If he can deliver Finley Campbell, dead or alive, I will personally take Julian to Blue Block and oversee his programming myself.
Do you really think he'd kill his closest friend, his savior, even for you?
Probably not. More likely, he'll bring me Finley, alive but helpless, and make all kinds of conditions before his conscience will allow him to hand Finley over. It doesn't matter. One way or another, we'll get what we want.
Poor Julian. Already out of his depth and sinking fast. Almost makes you feel sorry for him, doesn't it?
Are you asking if I have any feelings for him? Of course I do. I'm only human, after all.
Really? I thought you were Blue Block.